Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back. We had a little hiatus, man. Life happens. Life comes at you, man. We all adults got stuff a plate that we got to handle, man. But we back. And we told y'all the last episode it was a dawn of a new era. It's the dawn of a new era. Justin Fields is the quarterback one. The Bears beat the Big L Lions. They always taking L's, especially from us. So Justin Fields is QB1, man. There's no more debate. Maggie got off his BS, or he was forced to get off his BS. We're going to get into that. And Justin Fields' era has begun. He's never going to turn over the reins unless, unfortunately, he gets hurt. Cross our fingers, pray to God, that don't happen. But Justin Fields is the man. The Bears beat the Lions. A lot has happened since we last were on this podcast. So how we feeling, fellas?
Feeling damn good, man. Just from the sense of the fact that we got Justin Fields named as the starter from here on out. I mean, you know, it was much delayed to everyone's delight. You know, Matt Nagy wasted months behind stupidity. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said a long time ago, and just, you know, like Dan stated earlier, the decision was made for him, you know, and he was forced to make this fucking decision. I don't think this was his decision, even though he may, you know, try to get up there and cap to everybody like this was him. This right. wasn't him. This was this was above him. And I think Ryan Pace pretty much pulled his coattail to him and was like, he needs to start. Bottom line. So, you know, it was either you start him or I'll start him, or I'll find somebody that will start him. Because that Cleveland Browns game was an anomaly. We should really be sitting 3-1 right now. 3-1 instead of 2-2. Because that Cleveland Browns game was a winnable game. And it's beyond me, you know, it's beyond me and beyond belief that a head coach moving forward, and especially if I'm Justin Fields, how would you feel knowing that you're the face of the franchise moving forward with a head coach that don't have your best interests at heart? He put you in there to set you up for failure. Okay, just to look at everybody and say, see, I told you he wasn't ready with fucking five man front protection.
Miles Garrett and Jadavian Clowney.
Five man protection. You know what I'm saying? And then the blocking assignments in those five man protections, if you look at it, it was a lot of the times where it was calling for the tackle to block down and not even touch the end. Yeah. So you was purposely sabotaging this young man. What the fuck was you on? So if you Justin Fields moving forward, do you really want to be bothered with Matt Nagy? Now that this is your team, I think Justin Fields is gonna go to Brian Pace. Like, he gotta go, man. Because he put me at risk for his own personal gain. That's bullshit.
Yeah. That's his MO, man. That's what it seems like he's willing to do. You know what I'm saying? He's willing to sacrifice everybody around him to make himself look good some way, shape, or form, or make himself right. I don't even want to say make himself look good, because that game didn't make him look good. You know, he just wanted to be right about the situation, right?
Right.
He just wanted to be right about, you know, Justin Fields is not ready. So you make him look as average or mediocre as you possibly can, you know, so that you can say, yeah, he still got work to do, you know. And I mean, that was a fireball offense, in
absolutely
my opinion. In both ways. Even if it wasn't, I mean, I call it scapegoating. And I called it scapegoating back in preseason when you ran that dude out there in the preseason game and you didn't let him throw the ball hardly, right?
Right, and ran him with threes and fours
in the game that he started. Yeah, yeah. You know, so I thought it was scapegoating him at that point. Or not scapegoating, but sabotaging him at that point. Yeah. And, you know, it manifested itself again. whenever Nagy's back is against the wall, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his narcissism comes out, his egotism comes out, and he's willing and liable to do anything to kind of make himself look okay or make himself right. So, you know, this is what we've been dealing with. You know, I'm glad that Justin Fields is a starter. Somebody came in and told him, hey, you know, the young kid is starting now. Regardless of what you say, he's starting, you know. So either you can go out there and try to save face and say, hey, you know, we starting Justin Fields, or I'll make the decision and I'll go out there and tell him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's basically what it boiled down to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bears will fire him in the middle of the season.
No, he's fired.
His days are numbered.
Yeah, he's fired at the end of the season. Unless, barring some miracle. Like, and you're absolutely right on that.
In the playoff game.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that could save him.
No.
Because at this point, you know, you've already done enough damage to not only the locker room, players, coaches, everybody has lost a considerable amount of respect for this dude. You know what I mean? And that goes from, I mean, think about it. A couple years ago, Matt Nagy was like this golden child, right? Mm-hmm. He was this genius in the eyes of the national media, even. You know, oh, he's got so much. If you just had a decent quarterback, you know, he would be able to, you know, he could do. He was viewed like these younger guys, like McVay and Shanahan. They're all lumped into the same little category.
Well, Shanahan, right? I don't even think Shanahan in that category no more, man.
He's falling from grace.
Y'all are saying that, but I'm saying
on
the national level, they still view him like that.
Right.
And they even say if Trey Lance takes over, now you'll see he's become more of a recluse. He's bottled up, you know, some of the stuff that he wants to do. But with Trey Lance, he'll be able to bloom and stuff like that. That's what I heard them saying this week.
So the
national media is still in love with Shanahan.
Yeah, they had their point with, like, we worked with Mitch in like 2019. Oh, if you just got him a real quarterback, he can do something.
Right.
But I think Trent Shanahan's better than Nagy. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, he's better than Nagy. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at it as. You know, I think everybody has lost respect from, you know, the pundits, the analysts, to fans, to the locker room. You know, Marquise Goodwin, all you got to do is look at that. After one game, after the first week, the game that you went to, Roy, Marquise Goodwin came out and was like, you know, game plan was whack.
Yeah.
The play calls were whack. The routes were terrible. You know what I mean? What's that saying, man? That's after one game, you know? And it goes back to what we said before, you know, this is a guy on a one-year contract. If he don't produce this year, the likelihood of him getting another deal next year with another team or getting paid money goes out the window. So when you're handicapping your offense and you got guys like Allen Robinson who's looking to make plays and get money, Marquise Goodwin on a one-year deal, he wants to get paid next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if these guys are not able to make plays and get money, you know, get their, you know, their catches and stuff like that, then, you know, you got a situation where they're going to be upset.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's done to the offense. That's what he's done to the whole locker room.
Yeah, I mean, and this stuff, it comes out. Like, Justin Fields was saying after the game, he said the difference between Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, when he's giving you the plays, he's calm.
Mm-hmm.
When Matt Nagy's doing it, he's frantic. Well, it's because you're a head coach. It's really hard to be a head coach and call plays. It's really difficult. There's only a handful. Pick people that can do that, and Matt Nagy's trying to do it. He's not worried about special teams. He's not looking at the defense. This is why his time clock management.
So I don't mean to. I'm gonna give it right back to you, but I just want to ask a question: is he really doing that much head coaching? Then, if he's not worried about special teams, he's not focused on the defense at all.
No,
and he's really just playing play calls. He's chaotic regardless. Then.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
So but that's what causes the chaos. Whereas Bill Lazor, he's sitting up there in the booth, and all he's focused on is, all right, the next play. How the hell are you going to be the head coach and worried about time management when your head is buried in the play sheet while the defense is on the field? You worried about the next series.
And that's why there were so many delay of game penalties.
Exactly.
And timeouts at the wrong time too.
Yeah. And like I was listening to Hogan Johns, and they said Nagy caught something. He actually did a good. I mean, it's like low hanging fruit, right? So I don't want to give him too much props because this is what you should be doing. Allen Robinson, that catch, he got 2 feet down. Matt Nagy said I was actually able to see that because I wasn't had my head buried in the play call, and so I rushed the line up to there and forced the Detroit Lions to challenge the play.
What I tell you, man.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here.
That's what I say to that, man.
This is what you're supposed to be doing, bro. I was actually able to see that.
That's why he didn't know what plays to call next, because he didn't know the down and distance. He didn't know if the play, you know, produced positive gain or if we went backwards. You know what I mean? That's why we was always in that situation.
Yeah.
He said he didn't even know. Sometimes he didn't even know if the play was successful because he would already be like in the head, his head in his play sheet looking at the next call.
That's pathetic, bro. That's pitiful.
So yeah, man. Unless they do something big, like I agree, dude. I think he's done. And I don't know how much he can do. I don't know. The ceiling for this Bears team is that high. Like they might can sneak into the playoffs.
You know what?
Maybe you could.
With offense, with the, you know, we've seen how explosive this team can be, right? Granted, it was the fucking Lions, right? We understand that. But, you know, but we've seen what this team can be with a solid run game, and then you can keep teams guessing. You know what I'm saying? Solid run game. We got Justin Fields back there. He's pinpoint hitting these cats, you know what I'm saying, without any hiccups, any stalls. If we can get a team behind to where we eliminate their run game to the point where we can get up about two scores and eliminate the fact that they can't run the ball no more and allow those ends of Mac and Quinn to get to that quarterback and Gibson now that he getting into it, we're going to be a hard team to beat. Because again, you know, if those ends can get there and get that pressure, you know, off the ends or whatever, to eliminate the fact that now you can't run the ball. We make you one dimensional because we jumped up on you on the scoreboard. And we just allow our ends to pin their ears back. We will be a very hard team to beat. Very hard team. And the fact that we can run the ball. We have a three-headed monster at running back. So the fact that Monty went down, yeah, that's you know, but I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind that Williams can't do the same thing. You know, this is a suit who should have won the Super Bowl MVP. The same back who should have won the Super Bowl MVP. And there's no reason for why Khalil Herbert can't come in and, you know, get about 60, 70 yards and Williams get, you know, anywhere between 70 to 100 yards a game. There's no reason to say that this can't happen. What I would like to see on the offensive side of the ball is more Jesse James at tight end. I would like to see more of that. Because the robotic, Megatron that we got at tight end right now, Cole Kmet, you all right, baby, but man, you fucking my son numbers up, man, big time. You all right, you know, it's just, it was so robotic, man, when he hit through him that pass, and you know what I'm saying, he pushed off the Lions defender and just, oh, no, and just like crash to the ground, man. Like, come on, dude. Damn, you got to have some type of agility in that body of yours, man. Like, damn, act like this is Notre Dame. Why you wait till you get here and then you start moving? It's like his movements are like pre-calculated. Like he's thinking about the shit as he's going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cut. Cut in, cut out. Drag here, post there.
Because he's just now learning how to run routes, right?
So yeah.
It ain't natural for him. You know what I mean? Like, you running the route, I got to run to that spot and then cut this way instead of just naturally doing it.
It's like, dude, what happened to all this athleticism you had at Notre Dame? Do the same shit. What's so hard about that? But I want to see more Jesse James. Jesse James.
He's out for a personal reason, though, next game.
Jesse?
Yeah. I think it ain't say like an injury, but it said personal. And I think J.P. Holtz is out, too. He got injured. So it's going to be
more
Jesper Horsted.
Yeah.
More Kmet. Jimmy Graham got one catch on the season,
which is ridiculous, and I can't understand that. You should be doing more with Jimmy Graham down the middle. Not saying he's gonna break away and take off from any damn body, but all he got to do is turn around and post up.
Yeah,
who's gonna stop that?
Yeah, you paying him $10 million to block. I mean, he blocked well. I give him that. But go ahead, Dan.
See, the thing that I draw from the whole situation is the Bears offense. You know, we sitting here and we talking about Cole Kmet, we talking about Jimmy Graham, we talking about, you know, how involved these tight ends are. The Bears offense is not I can't really evaluate it based on the first three games. Right?
Yeah.
Because Matt Nagy was in his bag of nonsense, his foolishness, yeah. Right? They talk about being in the bag. He's in the bag of trash, right? He's that's what he's in. He's in the garbage can right now, digging around, you know? So you know, it's hard for me to evaluate just how involved these guys are going to be and things like that going into the future. I got to see what they're going to be able to do. You know, you got a guy who was not put in the position to even work with the ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we made mention of it. Yep. I think, Roy, you mentioned it, like maybe he has 6 reps total in preseason. And you know, that's messed up, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, when we evaluating these guys, it's hard for me to really come down on them too hard. I think, you know, Jimmy Graham, there's a spot for him on this team. I think Cole Kmet can be much better. He's shown that he's much better, right? Yeah. He's got, what, 8 catches this year or something like that? You know, but our leading receiver is Darnell Mooney with 17. And if you look around the league, you know, there's guys with way more catches. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doubling up on that sometimes. So you can't evaluate it off those first three games. Those first three games it's the Bears preseason because they didn't even play. You know, you didn't even let your starters play in the preseason, you know, let alone get reps with Justin. They didn't even play. Mooney didn't play. Allen Robinson didn't play. You know, Robinson got, what, 13 catches on the season so far?
Something like that. He ain't got a lot.
I mean, it's bad, bro. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's hard for me to evaluate that. I think I'm going to save it, you know, and once we get a couple of more games down the line, then I'll really be able to evaluate, you know, Cole Kmet. One thing I will say about Cole Kmet, though, before we move on, or if you want to move on, I don't know. Cole Kmet, a lot of people crapped on him, right? A lot of people have been talking about, you know, he's doing this and he's doing that. I'm going to tell you what I did see from Cole Kmet that stood out to me. You know, and I mentioned this on a podcast that I did earlier, the Irish Bears Brawl. Shout out to them dudes.
Shout out to them.
Yeah. And, but, you know, we were talking about Cole Kmet in specific, and I'm like, the thing that I saw from Cole Kmet is in the fourth quarter, after the Lions turned the ball over on downs and the Bears took the ball over and they started trying to run the clock out, Cole Kmet, on that run that Damian Williams had to the right side, he ran up to the right side. I think it was maybe about 23-yard gain, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But on that play, if you look at Cole Kmet, he made a pancake block, drove the dude through the turf. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was something that I was worried about Cole Kmet, like his blocking ability, his ability to assist in the run game. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay, he's working on it. You know what I'm saying? You don't make that type of block if you're not purposely working on it and getting better at it. So when I see a dude getting better at something, I say, okay, I see him putting in work. So if you're putting in work and you're putting in the effort and you're slowly getting better at that problem, that situation, then I'm more accepting, and I can accept some of your, you know, bad plays because I know you're working to get better. So when I saw that, I thought that was a good thing. I thought that really stood out, and that really busted that play open, you know, allowed Damian Williams to get to the outside there.
Yeah, he blocked. He's been blocking well, man, so I give him that. The thing about Cole Kmet is, I think, and I talked about this before in the past on players, it's all about expectations, right? I never expected Cole Kmet to be Travis Kelce. So I don't hold him to that standard. Like, I saw Cole Kmet, like, people can say, well, you could have got somebody else with a higher ceiling, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think Cole Kmet is, like, a bad player. He's going to be a good blocker. He's going to be a decent receiver. Think, like, Kyle Rudolph for the Vikings. Yeah. He wasn't a bad player. He's going to get you. He can probably have a good year when he gets you 50, 60 catches.
You know, that's a real good comparison. And, yeah, and Kyle Rudolph was a Pro Bowler, and he played.
He wasn't strictly a receiver. He was right. also known as a good blocker who can catch. That's right. Cole Kmet. You know, right. and ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody's not Travis Kelce. Not everybody's not the dude we about to play Waller. You know, right. these dudes don't block much. They're just big tight ends like Kyle Pitts. He's right. not Kyle Pitts. So if you understand that as a player, then you're okay with that. Yeah, he lost his film. You should have caught that ball. You got to work on that. But I'm not low on Cole Kmet based on his performance. But like you were saying about the targets, even though Justin had he had some big throws in that game and his yards per attempt was like 12 yards a completion, he only threw the ball 17 times.
Yeah.
You know, we were running the ball down that throat. So if you're not throwing the ball 30, 40 times, there ain't going to be that many opportunities for guys to get 30, 40 catches. And like you said, we started off with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton started the last game. Justin got thrown in there. We threw him in there versus Cleveland. Cleveland was a mess. We didn't throw the ball a whole lot versus Cleveland. How many attempts he had? 11? He had like 11 attempts versus Cleveland. 17.
I know in the first half with 3 minutes to go, he had one attempt. He was one for 11 yards.
So you know what I mean? Like, dudes have more passes in one half than we had the last two games. You know?
Right.
You know, some of these guys are throwing the ball 40, 50, 30, 40 times in one half. And we haven't even done that in two games. So,
exactly.
You know, that should pick up. And also, Matt Nagy was calling plays, you know, prior to the Lions game. So, this is the first time. And it looks like Lakers is going to be calling plays from here on out. It looks like that got snatched from Nagy. Like, Nagy got pulled. Hey, playboy. Come here. Let me holler at you for a second. Hand over those car keys, player. You can't drive. You had a little bit too much to drink. You're punch drunk right now, playboy. So he's not calling plays, and I was laser from here on out. So now we can kind of see what's going to happen. And we all agree, dude, laser called better plays than Nagy last year. That's why before we even started the season, we all agreed that Bill Laser should be calling plays.
Absolutely.
No matter who's going. Right.
Yeah, it's virtually time, you know. And I think, in all honesty, Laser is campaigning to be, which, I mean, if you want to keep it together, whatever. But Laser is campaigning for Nagy's job at this point. That's why Nagy don't want him to call the plays, because Bill Laser, it could be possibly be your fucking replacement.
Hey, touch on when
That
conference when he was like, Bill did a good job, but
yeah, exactly. You know, it's like you what they call you give a compliment with a backhanded slap.
Yeah,
you know,
but I'm the coach.
It
I'm
still runs coach. Through me, and he's running the plays. Yeah, he did a good job. However, but he had to okay it with me first before it went out. He wasn't just calling the plays. Like, man, go sit your ass down, bro.
Like, how does that work, bro? Like you in the headset too, and you know he's calling out the play. No, don't do that one.
Yeah.
Don't do that one, Bill. Bill, not that one right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Okay, well, how about this one then, Coach? No, don't do that one either.
All in a matter of 25 seconds.
Give me a pass play to the left side, though. Come on, bro. Like,
5-man protection, stat protection.
God, dog. Like,
yeah, you know. So
it's just stupid, man.
Laser has the ability to unleash and unlock Justin Fields tremendously, and this boils back to, I honestly think Matt Nagy didn't want Justin Fields. I'm starting to believe that. I'm starting to think that he wanted somebody like
Mac Jones.
That's who he wanted. He didn't
Davis
want
Mills.
Yeah. Seriously, because I thought those were the names that they were going to call. I was like, oh God, no, please don't.
Yeah, when we got that on the clock, I ain't going to lie, I was sweating a little bit.
And that Justin Fields pick only holds to the point that Matt Nagy, only holds to the point that Ryan Pace know he fucked up. Not more so with Patrick Mahomes, right? But he know he fucked up with Deshaun Watson. Yeah. He know it. He knows it, and that's exactly why he went after Justin Fields.
I agree with that.
I think Nagy wanted Justin Fields. This is what I think with Matt Nagy. And it's so obvious at this point. It's clear. I was waiting. You know, you needed all the evidence, right? But he cannot break the mold of that Kansas City Chiefs shit. His play calls, he's trying to run what Andy Reid runs, but he doesn't have the horses to run it.
We don't have that person
in. He drafted Justin Fields and wanted to do with Justin Fields what they did with
Mahomes,
Pat Mahomes and Alex Smith and KC, but it ain't the same.
Mm-mm.
And he can't shake it. I seriously think this dude had in his mind, I'm going to have Andy Dalton be my Alex Smith, and then I'm going to sit Justin Fields for a whole year.
You know what Matt Nagy does, bro? He does the shit like a kid would do, like that's in the sixth grade, fifth grade, you know what I'm saying? Go a young boy go in his room and lay the pants on the bed, lay the shirt on the bed. Then later put the shoes right up under and just be like, oh, I'ma tell him tomorrow. I'ma tell him. He did that when he got when we drafted Justin Fields and was like, okay, I got Justin Fields, I got Allen Robinson, I got Darnell Mooney, I got Cole Kmet. Okay, I got Monty coming out the backfield. Oh, I'ma tell him this year. Boy, you wait. I'ma tell him. You can't tell me nothing. And then he pulls this. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like you get so hyped up of what I'm gonna do, or oh, you wait. Well, how long we gonna fucking wait, man? Because
he done.
You gotta understand that you know, at this point in time, given the type of roster that we got, common sense should have told you, well, I can't do what we did in Kansas City because we had Alex Smith, you know, a veteran who was proven to be solid. And then had a career year that year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So that also played into it. We don't have nobody like that on this roster. So his time was going to be accelerated from the point that you drafted him. You should have been getting him ready from day one. Day fucking one. And I don't understand where in his mindset, where in his thought process did he think that Andy Dalton was going to be able to hold it down? Andy Dalton lost his fucking spot to
Ryan Finley.
No. What's the AJ McCarron?
Yeah.
And Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
He lost to both of them.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Are you serious right now? Yeah. So this is the guy that couldn't make the Dallas. You see how dope Dallas offense is right now? They probably top 2, top 3 in the fucking league.
Yeah. Same team except.
And you couldn't make it work. You had three prolific wide receivers. You had CeeDee Lamb,
Amari Cooper,
and Michael Gallup. And you couldn't make that shit work.
And Michael Gallup is hurt right now.
Yeah. And they still balling. And you couldn't make that work. That says you suck, you know, because if you take him out and put Dak in, Dak probably would have won the MVP last year.
But that's what I say about Matt Nagy. And I remember when we had the Cleveland game, right? And we missed the pod. So some of this stuff that we're talking about, people is like, you know, it's 2 weeks worth of pent up
frustration.
Frustration that we got right now, right? Yeah. So, you know, you think about that game against Cleveland and how inept, how bad that offense was, 47 total yards of offense. And then the very next night, Monday night, I had to sit back and watch that stupid Cowboys game and how the Cowboys were able to just do whatever they want to on the field, run the ball, pass the ball, short passes, long passes, run up the middle, run to the side. That, I mean, Kellen Moore was calling a brilliant game, right?
Yeah.
And it was a stark contrast to what we've seen from Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy does not know how to – he may be able to scheme people up, right? Like, Roy, you were a proponent of that. You said, you know, I trust that Nagy can scheme people to get open. And I'm like, I used to just, you know, I don't even want to hear about the scheme because he's just so bad at play calling, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. I was tuning
that out sometimes, right? But I'm sitting here and I'm like, maybe he can scheme people open because he can have some, he can draw up some decent plays, but he doesn't know when to call those plays. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't know in what situation to use this play.
Or to build off the play.
Or to build off it, go to the next one. If this doesn't work, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. If this does work, then okay, we go to this play. Instead, he's just sitting there, you know, and shuffling through.
Twiddling his damn thumbs.
Somebody said it's like
Waffle House menus he got in front of him. You know what I'm saying?
They said it's like Madden. He just picking plays.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not strategizing nothing.
It's like Madden. And then you get the situation. Like I mentioned that too. Like you get to a situation where you don't know what play to call. You're playing somebody in Madden and they're sitting there like, where's my play at? Where's my play at? And they going through their playbook, looking through four
right,
plays.
Right.
Play clock running out. That's Matt Nagy on the sideline. Where's my play? Where's my play? What play do I want? What play do I want? And this that's what he does.
You know the biggest – go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know the biggest indictment? The reason why I say that is because it's not like Bill Lazor brought a new playbook.
Right.
This is Matt Nagy's playbook.
Exactly.
That he's using. Exactly. And he's using it better than him. So exactly. It still says that, yeah, Matt Nagy plays work. He just don't know what the hell he's doing.
Right.
Which is bad because the man has your playbook. And that has to sting, bro. You know that got to hurt. That's why I'm out. I hope he don't get it. I know he don't get it. You can hope he don't get it. Like next Friday.
Right.
You know
exactly.
It hurts, bro.
Matt Nagy's a mechanic who got all the parts and all the pieces and don't know how to put it on the car.
Straight up.
He had the whole brake set sitting right there. Tools, everything you need. He just can't put it together.
Don't know what to do with it. Just sitting there looking at it.
Let's fuck it up.
And go back to Nez's point, man. Lazor, I don't think... I think Lazor, if he fell into the job, he'd accept it, of course. But I think Bill Lazor's sitting there and he's saying to himself, I don't think he's gunning for his job, per se. But I think he knows the writing's on the wall and Nagy's a sinking ship. And he's like, hey,
yep.
Do I want this on my resume or do I want to show what I could do? So the door is cracked open. Let me bust through here. Let me get play calling. Mm-hmm. If I can get play calling, if Nagy gets fired somehow in the middle of the season, I take over as interim, then that's on my resume. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I think that's what it is. And he's like, okay, I can work some things with Justin Fields in this offense a little bit. And I put that on my resume for my next opportunity or my next job.
Y'all remember when the question was, should Justin Fields start? And they asked Bill Lazor about it. Y'all remember that? And he was like, I think he's ready.
Yeah.
He's done everything we asked him to do.
That let me know right there.
Contrast from Nagy?
That let me know right there. Bill Lazor's like, yeah, this whole situation with Nagy is going down. I'm hopping over here.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Exactly. Give me the lifeboat right now.
Exactly.
Lower the lifeboat down.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, he's hitching his wagon to Justin Fields. And, you know, and Justin Fields has already said it's so different. You know what I'm saying? Like the way he delivers the play is so calm. Nagy, you've lost your franchise quarterback. He ain't fucking with you. He's not. He ain't fucking with you at all, bruh. You just there. You just there. And that's what people need to understand. Like, look, this is football. This is football terminology 101. Anytime a quarterback, your franchise quarterback that you drafted, anytime he sits up there and gives a stark contrast and tell you what he's more comfortable with, you out of there. And you ain't the one that he's comfortable with, you out of there.
No.
You out of there. Because, again, you got to understand that this is the franchise. And he's a rookie.
Bro, this is everybody. This is the team doing this, too.
I was going to say, I think Jermaine Nafetti even said that. We're going to start running stuff that we're more comfortable with running than we were running last year towards the end of the season, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, in all honesty, for those who look, you got a real big playbook, right? But folks, I want you to understand something. During the season, I say out of that real thick playbook, they have about 40 to 50 plays they really, really like. Okay.
Yep.
And they run variations of those 50 plays. Okay. Yep. All year.
Yep.
All year.
And then you got probably 12 bread and butter plays that you know this is going to work in this situation.
Absolutely.
Down in this, the same play
this is going to work.
Last night, like five times. The Rams.
Yeah.
They kept running it.
Yeah.
Run it till you stop it.
Yeah. Well, it was a little sale route. It was a quick little sale route that they kept running.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. It was a quick sale route that they kept running the whole damn time. I'm sitting there looking like, okay, y'all should know what's coming.
I was like,
y'all should know what's coming.
He just kept running it. They couldn't stop it.
Yeah, they couldn't stop it. They had no answer for it. And it was always, and somebody will always be running wide the fuck open. They couldn't stop it. And it was just like, yo, y'all should know what's coming. But it just goes to show, a lot of the cats in the NFL, they're not students of the game. That's why their careers be so damn short. They just athletically freakish. They were just freakishly athletically gifted to the point where it got him there. But now in the NFL, you see a lot of guys who, you know, were freakish athletes, could do this, do that. Well, damn, why he ain't playing? They're Anthony Miller's out there. You dead between the ears.
I knew where you were going.
Yeah, they Anthony Miller's out there. They dead between the fucking ears. So much for Anthony Miller, man. You know what I'm saying? A young man, I tried to tell you how your fucking career was going to end, but you ain't want to listen to me. So suffer, biatch. Fuck you. Now your ass is in the unemployment line and probably will be doing drywall somewhere in Memphis talking about what you used to be. No, you man. Tell motherfuckers what you never was. So
brought it on himself, man.
That's one, enough. That, I'm gonna give him, you know, on this segment.
He must have knew it was coming with how many times he posted that that touchdown catch, that 1 yard, what, uh-huh. It was 2 yard touchdown catch.
Man.
What he posted on Instagram like 30 times.
Yeah, his story, bro. Yeah, those, you know, there's so many stories and so many little lines.
Man.
Somebody said, I bet somebody posted that, like, hey man, I bet he's gonna, how many times are you gonna post this on his Instagram story? And the next day, bro.
He's about 30 of them. 30
he's a
of
sucker,
them
man. That's what I'm talking
about. He had the talent. Hey, and we kept saying, bro, it's your mind up here.
Yeah.
We kept telling people, like, he's talented. And I was like, it ain't the talent. Everybody in the NFL is talented.
Everybody's fucking talented. Just like the NBA. You ain't no fucking scrubs in the NBA, bro. None. Everybody's good in the NBA.
That's right.
All of them.
That's right.
Brian Scalabrine to this day will ball you up. Go on YouTube right now.
He'll drop a smooth 60 piece on your ass. Real quick.
Months ago, he was killing somebody in the gym. Killing.
Like a baller. Like, they get dumped. They got handles and everything. I'll kill Brian Scalabrine. He's just like, all right, dog, I'm going to let you score two.
That's it. People don't understand that. Like, everybody's fucking good, okay? This ain't no nothing new. The only difference is that these individuals got it upstairs and they know how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference.
And they studied the game.
Exactly.
They studied the
damn game.
You know, they in their playbook, they on film. They know, you know, I guarantee you, I'm just be honest. I don't know it for fact, but I'm pretty sure of it. Anthony Miller, when he studies film, I don't think he watches what he does. He doesn't watch what his opponent does
at all.
If he's going up against, if you're playing a slot this week, is he studying film of that other cornerback, that slot cornerback,
exactly.
That nickel cornerback? No, he's not doing that. Anthony Miller's not doing that. I guarantee you he doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between guys who make it
and guys who don't
are talented. And fall out of
absolutely.
Exactly.
Speaking of students of the game, Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, he is going to be a very sought after commodity this offseason, fellas. And given the fact that we got a motherfucker who may be getting on his way up out of here pretty soon at the end of the season, I would love, absolutely love, for Kellen Moore to be our offensive coordinator, new head coach. Seriously, because he's young, he can relate to Justin. Look how Kellen Moore relates to Dak Prescott, and look how he relates to Zeke Elliott. You know what I'm saying? He really got these boys balling, you know, balling. And our issue in Chicago has never been defense. I mean, shit, we can use those picks on me personally. I say use second, third, fourth, use it all. Second, third, you got to go DB. You got to go safety. All right, safety, probably corner, or whatever you can shore up in the free agent market at corner, at the you know what I'm saying, at the other corner spot outside of Jalen Johnson's, solidify it. Whatever you can do to solidify a true strong safety, go ahead and solidify it through free agency, and then use, you know what I'm saying, the rest of those picks. Like, we need a big look, man. I like Drake, not the fucking rapper, the wide receiver. Drake, that's the only one that I will consider. Drake.
The boy is cold.
The boy is cold-blooded out there at USC. That's Brandon Marshall reincarnated, folks, with speed. With 4.44, with 4.4 speed.
You remember, okay, hey, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm just tell you, on the Irish Bears pod, right, we were talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And after the pod was over, we were talking about, you know, I told him, hey, y'all look at Drake. He's cold, right? He's good.
Uh-huh.
We probably won't be able to get him, but he's cold. And they was like, you know, well, somebody needs to start a rumor like they did about Justin Fields, you
do
know,
something.
With epilepsy. And I was like, yeah, we could just say he got herpes, bro.
Yeah. Say something, man. For real.
Huh? Somebody put it out there.
There was a box of rocks, man.
Right, man.
I only think he can read.
For real, just put it out there. But you know what? USC is so bad right now. USC is so bad right now that he's going to fall under the radar. But the crazy thing is, I think USC's new head coach is going to be Eric Bieniemy. I see it happening. I see Eric Bieniemy being a new head coach.
Some people say Urban Meyer.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it might be. It might be Urban Meyer. It might be.
Hey, you don't need that man in Southern California, man. He's a terrorist.
He couldn't pay. He was getting buck. He was getting buck in country ass Columbus, Ohio.
Exactly. What you think? You know,
and Gainesville, LA,
bro. After the game, he didn't leave with his team, bro. Like that. Come on, bro. Like, wow.
He had some young trim hanging out. Yes, wow. He has some young tram waiting on him, man. But Kellen Moore is the guy that I would like to see take over as the offensive coordinator slash the head coach slash offensive coordinator. Now, again, I did post on Twitter that, you know, if Desai decides to stay, then cool. You know what I'm saying? And if Kellen Moore would keep him and retain him with the defensive side, cool. But the jury is still out on the side, folks. We only played four games?
I ain't sold on him yet.
Exactly. Man. I'm not sold on him yet. Everybody, Desai. Now, is it really Desai or is it the fact that my man Robert Quinn is healthy?
At the end of the day, man, the Bears have good players. They have decent players, talented players. And I don't see Desai putting guys in great positions.
I don't either.
You know what I'm saying? I just think that their Bears have really good pass rushers.
Yeah. And you know who could bring the best out of the pass rushers and out of that defense that we got and will give them the attitude?
I know who. Go ahead and say it, though.
Did I say it?
Hey, the guy hates Matt Nagy, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Full fucking force.
Everybody hates Matt Nagy right now, though.
Right. But Rex Ryan, his bloodlines are entrenched in Chicago Bears history. His father brought us our lone fucking Super Bowl. You can say, it was Mike Ditka. No, the fucking it was Buddy Ryan.
It was Buddy, bro.
That 85 Bears defense was born, bred, and lived and breathed Buddy Ryan. They didn't fuck with Ditka at all. Yeah.
And in 86, they was even better than 85.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Jim McMahon got speared into the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Punk ass Packers.
Yeah.
But yeah, my issue with Desai, the coverages. You know what I mean? You notice we've been having some blown coverages on the back end. Even in the Detroit game that we had in hand.
Oh, my Lord. Devin Bush, man. Like, what the fuck was he looking at, bro? It's like he was lulled to sleep staring in the backfield.
I was like, no. I could see it happening before the ball. And like, as the ball got snapped, I was like, it's a touchdown.
Running right past him.
He going right past him. He going to run right past.
And he's just standing there staring at the quarterback.
Hands down.
Like, what are you doing?
Come on, man.
Twice.
That's the problem I have, right? That's the biggest problem.
That's why his ass don't play.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he's been here like 6 years.
Yeah, that's why his ass don't play.
Because he's a thumper, too. I was like, man, he's a thumper. Like, he's like, yeah, he almost like think he's the perfect Adrian Amos replacement.
Yeah. I used to think that. Last year, I said that. Yeah.
His ass can't cover.
Not knowing. See, that's the thing. Not knowing. I don't think he knew his assignment on that play because after the guy got behind him, what's the dude's name? Raymond. He got behind him, Khalif Raymond. Scores a touchdown. And if you look at Devin Bush, he's got his arms up like, what was that? You know, he's looking at everybody else like, what?
And everybody looking at him.
Your man.
Yeah, and everybody looking at him like, what the fuck you doing?
Yeah, but you got your hands up for it.
Motherfucker. He can go back to the ghetto.
Right. Like, just man.
Back to the ghetto you go.
Yeah.
Back to the bench. Back to special teams. Yeah.
Shit. Dude, man, he be out there fucking up. Like, he in fucking La La Land. Motherfuckers like that, I'm still on the sideline.
Yeah.
I'm still on a motherfucker like that on the sideline, dog. Like, dog, get your shit together, man.
And that's the thing. With defense, like everybody got to play their role. Everybody got to know their assignment, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get exposed, right? And then the whole defense looks bad, you know? And you even called it, Devory, because we was in that text message, and you was like, both of them touchdowns was really on him.
Yeah, it was.
Two of them. Both. You know what I mean? He gave up, you know? So...
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. And to me, that's kind of, I mean, Bush, he is what he is, man. But, you know, the coverage issues, I'm still waiting on that for the side. He did some creative things with the pass rush. He had, like, DeAndre Houston Carson, like, crash and had, he freed up Matt. I'll give him that. But the coverage is, I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen. If he can get anything out of Eddie Jackson, you know.
I know Rex Ryan to get everything out of Eddie Jackson.
Oh, yeah, because he old school, bro.
Because he'll tell him, like, man, yeah. Oh, he'll cuss him out and be wanting to fight his ass. Like, motherfucker, I'll whoop your ass. Like, motherfucker, I coach Ed Reed, and you are not no motherfucking Ed Reed.
Bring Ed Reed in there to tell you ain't.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Rex Ryan, man, he would, just like how Khalil Mack took this, defense to a whole nother level. Rex Ryan will take this defense to a whole nother level. And that's the honest to God truth. Honest to God truth. He would take this defense to a whole nother level because he would instill a nastiness in them. Yeah, grit. Just a swagger. He would instill a swagger just like Vic Fangio kind of did with them. You know, instilled a swagger. Like, look, let's fucking go, man.
Right.
You know,
I mean, he gonna do it. You know, he gonna have him right. You know, Kellen Moore, man. I just feel like Kellen Moore, the job is his in Dallas. That's the only problem. That's the hurdle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but if they have a good season this year, I don't think they'll get rid of McCarthy.
Nope.
McCarthy gonna be gone. They don't need him. What does he do? What? Think about it. He's known for what? Play calling. Right, so if he's not calling plays, because when he got hired, they told him we're good on our offensive coordinator. We got Kellen Moore, and he's going to be calling plays. So he's a figurehead. He's just there. Kellen, that job is for Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore was too young at the time. They didn't want to give it to him at that time, so they said we'll hire McCarthy. He won't get in the way. He'll shut up. He'll mind his own business. He'll accept the job and, you know, work for 2 or 3 years, and then we can give Kellen Moore the position. That's what he's doing. Same thing he did with Jason Garrett. That's what Jerry's doing.
My question, too, is how many times does it happen in the NFL where the head coach has a winning season,
mm-hmm. and he gets
and
fired.
And then they fire him and then hire the offensive coordinator. They just didn't. I mean, it happened
twice in our division. I mean, they didn't hire our offensive coordinator, but it happened twice. Lovey got fired after a winning season, and so did Jim Caldwell.
Well, you know, Lovey got fired after a winning season because Lovey, there in the last down, the stretch, everyone wants, you know, especially the pundits.
Don't matter.
The last seven games, Lovey went 1-6.
But I'm saying
it was a winning season,
though.
They
didn't fire him. And he went to a Super Bowl coordinator. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, to replace the guy who, I don't know, man.
I don't think that's happened, but I've seen guys get fired after a winning season.
Yeah.
Think about it like this. Jalen Smith got cut, right? Mike McCarthy didn't even know anything about a guy being cut from the roster. On Sunday, you made he made Jalen Smith inactive. Defensive captain.
Oh.
No, he was defensive captain. On Sunday, and then on Tuesday he gets cut by Jerry Jones. That's how out of the loop he is. You can't tell me he's not a figurehead, bro.
Damn, Jesus.
So now you got to ask the question: you Kellen Moore? Do you even want to be a part of that shit show?
Damn.
Like, you know, the Bears gonna be a hot job.
Hell yeah, because it's Justin Fields.
Bears gonna be a hot job.
And
like,
we know.
And I'm like, nah, this is going to be the job, especially with the Arlington Heights Stadium thing. I don't even know if we touched on that. Yeah.
And
this
not,
is
not
going
yet.
To be a hot job.
And I'm going to tell you, folks, Allen Robinson won't be here for it. Get it through your fucking head. We will probably either trade, we'll probably get a big premier wide receiver, a younger one in free agency. We're probably going to overpay for him. But whatever free agent that is going to be available, trust and believe we will land him, okay? Because, again, we got Justin Fields and a young target. I mean, but if you can see that game against the Lions, who was the focal point of that offense in the passing game? Darnell Mooney. Why? Because
boys, right?
Why? Because Mooney has what?
Speed. But also, he has a connection with Justin Fields.
Exactly.
They posting videos and I'm doing like
right. And remember ability. When we talked about this?
And they said, "No, yeah, we talked about this. We practice after the game all the time."
And remember, we talked about this during the summer when A-Rod was on his period for the last 4 months. You know, when he was going through his cramping phase, and real irritable, he didn't want to be bothered with anybody. And I'm like, "Yo, why is he not working with Justin Fields? Why?" Yeah. And it's biting him in the ass now. I mean, you can piece out the rest of the season and get about 65 yards. You'll end up with about 1,100 yards for the year, A-Rob. I mean, you want to beat your chest about that and, you know, cool, be my fucking guest. But, you know, you got your agent out here advocating for you because you make a play on the sideline that you're supposed to make. Put some respect on his name. Like,
that was a dog catch, though, bro.
I mean, but how many times we seen cat? I'm sorry. I grew up in the era watching Chris Carter, Randy Moss, you know, motherfuckers who do shit like this on the regular. You know what I'm saying? Where they toe tap and all that. I mean, this shit regular to me. It's like, okay, good catch. Now, I say the catch that he made that was flagged for pass interference was better than that shit.
That was a routine catch.
That was a nasty one, too.
That was a dog ass catch, and it didn't count because Matt Nagy took the fucking penalty. What? What?
Oh my God.
Like, are you that out of touch with the game?
Why would you do that? Why would you?
Because he getting himself fired.
Because he don't want Justin Fields to have numbers. I mean, what is it, man? What the fuck? What are you doing, dude?
I don't know. I don't get it, bro. I was so pissed.
Like, oh, what? Like, Bears accept the penalty 15 yards first down. Like, what? Whatever, man. It was a spot foul anyway.
Yeah.
So
it was a spot foul anyway, and he had caught the pass for a first down anyway.
Yes. So
what was the point?
That was a dog. That was a better catch than the one he did on the sideline with the toe tap. You know, he got the back toe in. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did it, but I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
No, but the reason why I said that catch was a dog catch is if you look at the catch, go back and look at it, he caught the ball. And as you go to the ground, a lot of times guys will let their hand or something will hit the ground. He's strong enough. His hands are strong. And I'm not going to, you know, I think he has great hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was able to grab the ball and he did not move with the ball. Mm-hmm. His hands didn't touch the ground. A lot of times a guy's hand will touch the ground. That'll bobble the ball.
Mm-hmm.
His elbow, whatever. He let his body touch the ground and kept the ball up the whole time through the fall. To me, that's a dog play.
Yeah, you gotta have strong hands.
Strong hands, but a lot of players don't have the mental capacity to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
To keep their hands off the ground instead of breaking your fall with your arm or your elbow, because your arm will cause the ball to bobble a little bit. So that's why I said it was a dog catch. I think Allen Robinson, he's got a lot. It's hard to judge him, bro. It's just hard to judge him.
It is.
At this point in time in the season, I can't be that critical of a lot of our guys on offense, man.
You can't because the jury is still out.
Man.
But you're having a lot of national pundits to say, and this is on national media, when they go to judge Allen Robinson, they say, "It's great. He's a great receiver." Mm-hmm. But he's just average. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well. He's and this was the point that I was making in the summer when I kept telling everybody, I'm like, look, take your love for being a Chicago Bears fan out of it, folks. Allen Robinson is solid. He's as solid as they come. But there, you know, there's levels to this. There's elite wide receivers, elite cats. And he ain't in that category. He's really, really good. But elite, he ain't. You know, elite cats, man. I mean, hell.
DK
Metcalf, that's elite. You know what I'm saying? You got my man out there with the dreads. B-Hop. You got him. You know what I'm saying?
I think y'all base it on the type of receiver that you want or that you're enamored with, right? And a lot of fans do that, right? A lot of people just look and say, okay, this dude is fast. He's what I want because he's got that speed. Or this guy is, you know, spectacular with his catches like Odell. And that's what I like. That's what I want. And I think sometimes people fall in love with this certain type of receiver, not knowing that, like you said, there's levels to this, right? Mm. So you need a receiver that's a possession receiver. You need a speed guy. You need a slot guy. You need a guy who's going to work the seams. You need a guy who makes the spectacular catches on the sideline. There's levels to it. Are you going to find that all wrapped up in one person? It's a rare occasion. You don't have a ton of those dudes walking around. You in the NFL, you got a bunch of guys that can play, that can make plays at the wide receiver position, right? And they're interchangeable. And so with Allen Robinson, I feel like, you know, I just look at his stats, you know, 200 catch seasons, back-to-back 100 catch seasons. Does he get you the touchdowns? No, he hasn't gotten you the touchdowns, but it's also a product of this stupid offense.
True.
That Nagy's been running, yeah, right?
True.
So I just feel like if he's given those opportunities, he can be much better than what he's shown this year.
The last couple of years, he's been healthy. He's been about 70% of our passing game because he's been the only one they've been throwing the ball to.
I think Allen Robinson,
how you sneeze at 100 catches in a season?
No, you don't sneeze at that. But the thing is about, you know, the 100 catch season, if I'm feeding you the ball, you know, if I'm giving you 15 to 20 attempts per game,
about 160.
You gonna you should at least come up with 100.
Yeah, like, I mean, Allen Robinson is good. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
The issue with the team and A-Rob and why it might eventually end up to a split is because A-Rob wants to get paid like those elite guys,
and he's not them.
That's the thing. And then the theory of it is, do the Bears just pay him like an elite guy?
No,
even though he's not D-Hop, pay him like D-Hop? Or do you say, we might take a little bit of step back and pay a guy 18 because he, you know what I mean? And that's what it comes into. And then you got to look at them. And I get it. The point in his argument, because he had that whole article with Tyler Dooms about how he was the offense. The offense now is actually going more towards David Montgomery, Darnell Mooney, and Justin Fields. He's not necessarily – I think David Montgomery is the best offensive player on this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah. So that's where we are. And I think he still wants to get paid like $25 million. Somebody told me that he wants to get substantially – not me, but a media member said he wants to get substantially paid.
It ain't like, happening unless he go to the
it's
Jets.
It's a big number. It ain't 19. I don't think it's 20. It's upwards of 20.
Well,
it is now. It's that now because, I mean, the thing is about to balloon, man.
He'll be a member of the Jets, man. He'll be catching passes from Derek, from Step Brothers, man. He'll be catching passes from him while Derek be singing to him and shit.
And that's what it is, dude. It's a money thing. He wants to get paid. I don't know if the Bears want to pay him like that.
No, they're not. Nah.
You know. They got other things they gotta, you know.
They got other shit they gotta address, man. But it's you know, you can free agency, man. You can.
I look at it and I say, okay, he ain't Julio, he ain't D-Hop. $25-26 million is out the question, right? In my opinion, I don't think he goes up that high. But you know,
AJ Brown,
we've lined it out. We've lined, but AJ Brown ain't getting paid money yet because he's still on a rookie deal, but. I mean, and he's going to get paid.
Oh, absolutely.
AJ Brown going over $20 million.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
He's worth it.
So, but what I'm saying is that if you compare the numbers like we've done previously, his numbers match up well against guys like Amari Cooper. They match up well against guys like Keenan Allen. They match up well against these guys. That you can argue that his numbers are better than some of those guys. So, in my opinion, yeah. But see, that's the problem. It's expectation. We expecting him to do more. 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards. That's what we expect, right? 1,200 yards ain't bad. 1,200 yards ain't enough, though.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But in this offense, man, you got to look at it, too. You know, God, dog. If we going to say that Justin Fields has been handicapped, I can't deny that he has. He's been handicapped either. You know?
Yeah, that's a good argument to make. You know, it's just it's put up a shut up for him this year. So, you know, I mean, in my opinion, in my honest opinion, Allen Robinson is very, very good. He's solid. I don't think he's a number one. I think he's a legit number two. And, you know, I think he's a legit number two. I don't think he's a number one, but dude is solid as hell. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely solid. But, you know, we got to see. We got to see. Because I look at cats, you know, like Jefferson, you know, in Minnesota. That's a number one. That's a legit number one. You know, I look at these young boys that's coming in the league, man. You know, hell, perfect example. Look at Chase, Jamar Chase. That's a legit number one. You don't see Allen Robinson streaking down the damn field, beating nobody on the route, walking into the end zone 60, 70 yards. You know what I'm saying? He going to get you about 25, you know what I'm saying, 25, 30 on a catch, you know, that he didn't jump, you know, 10, 15 feet in the air for and come down with. That's just the type of guy he is. You know what I'm saying? He's not on that level where cats, I'm just going to, you know, footwork you right off the line and then I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, and against number ones like Jair Alexander, he was blanked. You know what I'm saying? Like, legit, you'd be like, damn, where A-Rob at? And that was when we would play the Packers. Granted, our quarterback situation was shitty. You know what I'm saying? But it's been too many games where you'd be like, where's A-Rob? What, damn, you know, it'd be like late third quarter, here he go on his assault with a game over. Stat padding. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dog. Well, Allen Robinson had four catches for, you know, 84 yards and a touchdown. Well, yeah, that all that shit was like mid third quarter on to the end of the game, and the Bears lost by 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, dude. Like, where you been at?
Yeah. My thing is this, with A-Rob at this point, and I said this since we got Justin Fields. This is Justin Fields' era. If you want to be part of it, be a part of it. Because I'm pretty sure if they, whatever his demands are, if they kind of met in the middle or came to some agreement, maybe, in my opinion, it could probably get worked out. But in my opinion, we got Justin Fields. We got a young core of offensive people, including the tackles who are out, who are going to be coming back.
And I think when they come back, it's going to be even more solid.
Yeah, so if you don't want to, like, to me, this whole season, I said this whole season is about developing Justin Fields and who's going to be here for 2022. Mike Ditka, when he got hired as a coach, he walked in the Bears locker room and said, "We got a championship team. That's the good news. The bad news is some of y'all ass ain't gonna be here.
A lot of y'all ain't gonna be here."
Yeah, and this is where we're at. And so the thing about it is, and I get what he's trying to say, because he was the focal point. He was the offense. That ain't the case.
That ain't the case no more.
And so now you kind of got to fall in line and recognize that you're not the number one person on this offense no more. You got three, four other guys who are going to be that person. And you got to make a decision whether or not you want to be part of it. Because, you know, it might be Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney might be that guy.
Right.
You know, the explosive guy. Because Justin likes to sling the ball down the field. You know, and a guy like Darnell Mooney is going to benefit, as we saw in the Lions game.
Right.
You know, catching the ball all over the field, you know, dropping passes in the bucket. Ain't going to be this slow running hitches and you know, and curl routes, you know, dink and dunk offense. So that's where we are. But I got to give props out to Robert Quinn. We mentioned him a little bit earlier. You know, we were on Robert Quinn's case this offseason. He got two sacks last year, all of last year. He has 4.5.
He's probably on case. He's on pace to have about, you know, 10, 12 sack season.
Yeah. Shit, he's halfway there now.
Yeah.
You know? This man's on a tear. He obviously wasn't healthy last year.
Yeah. And Khalil Mack is on pace to have another 10, 12 sack season this year, too.
Yeah, he's at 4 right now. Mm-hmm. They're leading the NFL in sacks at with 15. And Travis Gibson.
Yeah.
Young 99.
Yeah. You see that movie put on they first round pick when he went to go sack golf? Yeah. Like, wow. Okay, then. Get it, young man. Get it.
So, man, I mean, it's big for a guy like Gibson to step it up, man, because you got a young guy that's a pass rusher. Our pass rushers are like 30. So to get a guy that's 23 years old and there to rush the pass like that, man.
I wonder if Robert Quinn heard the noise. Like, you almost on your way up out of here, bruh. You on verge of getting your ass cut. You're like, oh, shit, let me step it up. Like, this a contract to approve it year.
No, I'm gonna tell you what it is. Robert Quinn know that he can get cut at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He must knew that he was on the verge of being cut. Like,
he knows that his time. You know, if you don't produce this year, I mean, he produces in every contract season. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not that excited about it, to be honest with you. I'm really not. Because I already know what this is going to be. Next year,
next year he ain't going to give a shit.
Back to nothing. You know what I mean? So,
well, after next year, he can be cut too. So,
yeah.
You know, that's I mean, during the season, because it's, you know,
his cap hit won't be that major.
Yeah. So, next year is going to be kind of like a contract year too. You know, so he going to have to keep stepping it up. So, even after next year.
What's the word on Akeem Hicks, man? Is he good?
They said he's out. He's out with a groin. So as soon as we get Eddie Goldman back, we lose Akeem Hicks. It seems like this happening like every damn year, man.
Well, you know what? Goldman, Goldman is healthy. Finally, thank God. And, you know, the Hicks loss really ain't that devastating because you got Nichols and you got the other young boy.
Angelo. Blackson.
Tonga.
Blackson, yeah.
Blackson. Tonga and Edwards.
You know, and Edwards, yeah, exactly. We got Edwards back from a suspension, so you know, the hit won't be felt that hard.
And Edwards been playing pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been balling.
Absolutely. Tonga been balling.
Yeah.
Tonga's been balling. I liked when he cracked the hell out of my man Hawkinson.
They were wrong,
like,
for calling that flag on him.
Yeah, they was wrong. It's just they had to do something because they was like, damn, I know that hurt.
He's some more, bro.
They felt bad for him. They felt bad for him. He cracked the hell out. I'm like, damn. I just see a body go flying and boom, like the body was limp in the air and then it just smacked on the ground. I'm like, damn. I see that big ass mane flowing from up under that damn helmet. I'm like, damn, Tonga smacked his head. Like, oh well, so be it. That was funny. That was definitely funny. But, you know, what are we looking forward to this week? I know this was the game I was supposed to be at, but them tickets was too goddamn high.
Yeah, they were too crazy.
I couldn't do it, man. Stupid.
And then you got to buy the ticket.
Then you got to get the hotel, the flight, and pay for your lodging and food while you're there. They wanted $3,000 for a damn ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And the bleeders.
Ain't no way.
$3,000 for a seat in the bleeders. Mm-mm. Nope. I ain't doing it.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's a bunch of Bear fans out there, but that's why I went to the LA game, not the Raiders game, because I was like, I can't do it.
Well, you know, I'll be.
But yeah, man, it's.
I'll definitely be there this year. You know, they come in the Ford Field, so I'll be there. You know what I'm saying? Loud and in full effect. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to wear my.
It's going down.
Yeah, I'm going to wear my white Justin Fields jersey. You know what I'm saying? The throwback. Yeah, the throwback. I'm going to wear the white throwback, and I'm going to have the boys wear the white throwbacks too. So, okay. Dan, I know you said you was going to be at that game. So, after the game, it's Thanksgiving. Y'all can come through to the crib, man. Grab some food, some grub.
For sure.
It's going to be on and cracking.
That's what's up, man. I can't wait.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm going to that game, man. And the week before, like, I'm actually going to go up to Chicago, that Friday, I guess, like the 19th. And then the Bears got the game on the 21st in Soldier Field against Baltimore. I'm going to go to that one. And then I'm going to hang out in Chicago for a few days and then go up to Detroit for the Thursday game.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be on the crack.
I want to catch a game at Soldier.
Sure. I do too, man. You know, I definitely want to catch a game there. I wanted to catch the one where they play the Niners. But I want to go to the one where they play Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay on Halloween.
Oh, dang, they do, don't
they? Yeah, they play Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay on Halloween. I'm like, damn, I want to check that one out.
Yeah, that's going to be
dope. And that ain't far from me, man. I could drive down there.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You got to worry about the hotel. Yeah, man, the Raiders, man. Oh, man. I was on the fence, man, but after
the Raiders are beatable. They're beatable.
Especially at this controversy with John Gruden.
Yeah. Tell my man Lips.
He talked about the president of the NFL PA, DeMaurice Smith. He said, quote, "Dumb Morris Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires."
Mm.
If you don't know DeMaurice's name, he's an African-American gentleman, right? He basically said that man has the lips the size of Michelin tires, bro, in an email. 2011?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Damari Smith, if anybody's seen DeMaurice Smith, that motherfucker do look like Michigan J. Frog, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he is an ugly motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? 12 years a slave looking motherfucker. But, you know, I'm just, I'm just being real, man. Dude legit looked like Michigan J. Frog in the face, man. You know,
just, so John Gruden could have easily just said he an ugly dude or something like that.
Yeah, like he could have said that's an ugly motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it would
but he capped on his lips, you know what I'm saying? He capped on his lips, you know, hey.
That's
I mean, he got the Sambo face going. True, but still, you know.
You can't say that, John Gruden.
You can't say
you're not a part of the culture.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
The culture, bro.
I know my man looked like Sambo. You know, he looked like Sandman and shit from the old Sandman that used to be on A Night at the Apollo with the big with the big white face and the lips. Like, I get it, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, damn, D. Maurice Smith is an ugly motherfucker. We understand that, dog. We get it. But damn, bro, you ain't got to, you know.
You can't say that.
Just say ugly.
You can't say
that. Just say that's an ugly dude, man. Just keep it moving. You know, you ain't got to go with the lips big as Michelin tires and what, you know.
And like, you typed that, you saw it, and you were like,
and
yeah,
you sent it.
Knowing somebody could air that shit out, me, he probably.
And
like,
once you send that
care.
Email, it's out there forever, bro. You can't
and bro, did y'all hear what he said though? He was like, he apologized. Oh, I don't even remember sending nothing like that.
Hey, if I did, my bad. Fuck it. It was 20 years ago. I don't give a fuck.
What? You don't remember? I don't remember sending it. Come on, dog. Like, man, it's so. Think about it like this, right? This is the way. This is what I look at it like. John Gruden says something like that in the email. What do you think he says in private?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
That's a lot of cats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is a lot of cats.
That's a lot of cats. Yeah. I mean, I say I ain't making up for it. You know what I'm saying? But I say I don't give a fuck. I mean, I don't say what I say. What y'all hear in everyday life? This is how I am every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I cat.
See, we
jokes.
Use the word nigga. I say nigga.
Right.
But you can't say it. Though.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
if I hear, you say nickel, I'm wondering if you really said nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
But it's like that in every culture. It's like Italians and Asians.
Wops. Yeah, they call each other wops.
All kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, white folks call each other crackers and shit like that. Honky, cracker, all that shit. I ain't running around calling white folks honky and cracker. You know what I'm saying? I let them do that. You
that's
know what
them.
I'm saying?
You want to do it, you do it. That's on you, but I ain't going to be the one to do it.
Right. You hear other Mexicans calling other Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? The wetbacks and all. Like, damn, really?
Because you get that in California, the people who are born in America versus the people who come to America from Mexico. Sometimes they have issues, and I'm like, hey, bro, that's your culture. I ain't in that.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know what? I found that out amongst the Hispanic culture that the motherfucking Americanized Hispanics, they hate them. Like, why?
But I'm like, hey, that's your son. I ain't in it. I'm cool with everybody, bro. You know.
Hell yeah, shit. Hey,
exactly.
I'm cool with the essays from across the border, man. Shit, I fucks with them. They do good work.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. They do good work.
So you know that's the culture out here.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, man. Gruden. But the only thing, the segue into that, I was talking about the predictions. I'm like, that's a little controversy before Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So now he's focused on that and people talking about that. And he got the Bears coming to town, Khalil Mack revenge game.
You see, they kicked Alex Leatherwood inside to a guard. And that's to stop Khalil Mack. Yeah, that's to try to help stop Khalil Mack. Like, that's not going to work, bro.
No.
It's not going to
work. Especially with Robert Quinn playing right now. You can't necessarily double. And Travis Gibson.
Yeah.
Right.
Those boys in the middle, Bilal Nichols.
It's going to be a good game. Because really, the Raiders have no passing threat outside of Waller.
Yeah.
Well, they got Ruggs.
Ruggs ain't shit, bro. It's really starting to come to the point where it's like
you ain't
living up to the hype, bro, at all.
Who for Ruggs?
Yeah, it's like you're not living up to hype, man. It's his second year.
He's a deep threat. I mean, this is the Raiders' offense. The Raiders are going to throw 20 balls to Darren Waller.
Yep.
Right? They're going to throw 20 passes to him. Renfro's going to probably get between 10 to 15 targets.
All
10
on
to
third
12.
Down.
Yeah, all on third down.
Out routes and slants.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. And then you're gonna have Henry Ruggs. He's gonna get maybe three targets and they're gonna all be
deep balls.
30-40 yards downfield.
Yep. That's it.
That's their offense.
That's it.
So if you can go into the game and not let Ruggs get behind you, and then you know, double team Waller. And I take my chance with Renfro. I mean, well,
Hunter.
No, I take that back.
Renfro might fuck around and be cooking.
He might kill
Yeah.
Well, you know what you can do. This is what you, the boy JJ, who I don't even like PFF, but they got him graded as a number two cornerback in the NFL right
now. Mm.
Right? Hey. I'm putting JJ on Renfro.
I got something to say about PFF too.
I know. I know. I don't like PFF, but that's why I said they caveat. I feel but at least you. I'm taking Wall out the game,
uh-huh.
and I'm putting JJ on Renfro. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I do that.
I'm playing two high safety. I'm playing two high safety because Josh Jacobs, he come back off the injury. He ain't who he is right now, right? And I'm depending on my big boys. Eddie Goldman should be a little bit better shape,
yeah.
Right, Bilal Nichols and all those guys. I'm gonna say, you ain't gonna
stop
run
on the
run. Front. And I'm gonna put run. Two safeties deep so you don't beat us with rugs. And we gonna take away your passing game.
There
and we gonna trust Jimmy Neutron, whatever. You to beat us with his arm.
With that goddamn Undertaker. With the Undertaker eyeliner on and shit. Like, duh, why are you wearing eyeliner? That shit be getting in your eyes? Mascara. You fucking wearing mascara and shit. I'm like, duh, why look like you got on mascara?
He don't put the eye black under his eye.
He put that shit on his eyelashes and shit. He be in there with the eyelash curl. Like, how much time we got before we have to take the field? I'm not ready. Are you in there curling your eyelashes, dude? I have to put my mascara on. What was that movie with the Flint Tropics when they came out that one time on TV and had put that fucking mascara on and then was burning the shit out their eyes? That's what he looked like every time.
He do, dog. He do.
Like,
he
this motherfucker got on mascara? He whatever. Do. L'Oreal? Yeah. Maybe it's Maybelline?
Bosa said he don't like to get hit.
Oh, yeah,
that's rivalry talk, man.
Ball like a baby, man.
That's rivalry talk, man. That's all that is. Any quarterback does that.
I know.
Every quarterback don't like getting hit. Bosa sounds stupid to me. But check this out, though. Right when you was talking about Gruden's situation, you got to ask yourself how is their locker room going to respond? You got a ton. You
exactly.
70, 80. How many? What's the percentage? 90%.
90%. Yep. 90%.
92%. Something like that. So you figure, you know, how is everybody going to take to John Gruden? Are they going to be side-eyed? I know I would. I'd be like, man, this dude was out here talking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what, though? They show me that they really don't give a fuck as long as they get their check, bro. Because them comments that the Bosa brothers used to make, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah. You know, the nigger this, Ryan. Nigger that, nigger this, right. And his girlfriend, nigger, 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 nigger. You know what right. I'm saying? Yeah. And ain't nobody looking at him sideways and then whooped his ass and then tightened him up.
What about Josh Allen?
Perfect example.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nigger, 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 nigger. It's like they be at home. Nigger, nigger, nigger. Nigger, nigger.
I got a video for that.
Dead.
It was a teacher. Remember the teacher they did the boom job?
Yeah.
And he was like, you call your students nigger? I said nigga, not nigger.
Like, you say nigga. ER. You put the ah. Like, can you loan a nigga a pencil?
It's like, can a nigga borrow a drink?
Can a nigga hold a dollar? Can a nigga borrow a pencil? Nigga, please. Like, is this white man serious?
To a black reporter, the black
chick's
looking at him like,
she looked like this motherfucker lost his mind. Like,
she wanted to slap him, bro.
She was looking at him like, he done really lost his mind.
Oh, man.
Like, nigga. Like, nigga, please.
Nigga. Nigga.
Like, bruh, I'm telling you. It's just, man, look, they done got to the point where they hear it so much, man, they think it's cool for them to say it.
Yeah.
Like, dog, you will get fucked up right. saying that shit where you don't belong.
That's not trust good.
Me, I'm talking Reginald Denny style.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Be careful. Hey, to all our white listeners out there, we know y'all ain't on that shit because if y'all was, y'all we wouldn't follow y'all and y'all wouldn't follow us. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure y'all know some counterparts and some family members that like to use the word. Just tell them,
be careful.
Just be careful. You know what I'm saying? Because you get Reginald Denny down here. And those who don't know who Reginald Denny is, I advise you to YouTube that shit. All right? During the Rodney King incident, I advise you to YouTube that shit and see what they did to Reginald Denny. Okay? Can we all just get along?
Yeah.
So, what are you fellas looking for this Sunday, man?
Because of all this, man, I'm hyped. Maybe it's just a Justin Fields hype, man, but I think the Bears are going to win. I think Justin Fields is going to he gonna throw a couple touchdowns because you know
he ain't threw a touchdown yet.
Pass that was dropped. No, he keeps throwing the ball. He getting them in the red zone, but then again, the ball to David Montgomery.
Yeah, they kept handing it off. I'm like,
I think you don't got David Montgomery. Yeah. Give my man a touchdown.
Yeah, damn. Can he start throwing touchdowns? Damn. Shit.
Yeah, goddamn. So I think he get a couple touchdowns, man. I think the Bears, I won't say they're gonna have like a crazy offensive explosion, but I think they're gonna score some touchdowns. I got my Bears winning 27-21.
Okay.
I think they score like three touchdowns, but they kick a couple field goals. Carlos Santos. And the Raiders going to score a little bit. We're going to get caught by Waller because our secondary has some issues. But I think we'll hold them off just enough, and we'll score just enough because of Justin Fields and you know, the offense still finding itself. And I think we pull out a dub, man. And then people are going to start recognizing the Bears might be able to make some noise.
Okay. I'm not worried about this game. It ain't shit the Raiders do that worries me. 31-17 Bears. Right. 31-17 Bears. But this the kicker, though, right? Over our next four games, we have, if I'm not mistaken, we got the Packers, we got the Steelers, we got the Niners, and
I don't think we got Tampa Bay.
Oh, in Tampa Bay, right? Mm-hmm. I say over that.
Zaire might be out for the season.
Yeah, he's so that's gonna hurt. So with that being said, I truly, honestly, wholeheartedly do believe that the Chicago Bears over this brutal stretch of the season, as they like to say, I'll say we're going to go fucking 4-1 over this stretch. Oof. And before you know it, we'll look up and be 6-3. I'm dead serious. I just see it happening. I see us going over this stretch going 6-3.
Man.
6-3. I always said we're going to finish the year 11-6. Mm-hmm. But I see us going over this stretch 4-1. And we going to, and our overall record will be 6-3. And I think we will possibly be tied atop of the NFC North at 6-3 when it's all said and done.
Okay. Hey, man, I hope that happens too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely hope that happens. Yeah. No, let me see. What am I going to say here? Well, let me put it like this. I'm going to go Chicago for the win, of course, right? I'm going to say the Bears go 27-24. We win the game. The problem that the Bears are going to have is what they had last week, if they have a problem, and that's letting the team walking up and down the field on them. If they allow that to happen, then they're going to give up some touchdowns in that red zone, unlike they did last week to Detroit, right? They stopped Detroit. Detroit made it inside the 20-yard line three times in the first half. Three possessions, three times in the red zone. Two of those times got inside the 10-yard line. You do that against this team with Darren Waller, they're going to score in the red zone.
Yes, sir.
They're going to score in the red zone. So you need to stop that. You know, it's nice that the Bears have 15 sacks. I respect it. But if you're allowing a team to walk up and down the field on you, are you getting your sacks at the right time?
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my other concern. Be out there getting sacks when we need them. When they need to be had on crucial downs to get them off the field, on third down to get them off the field. You know what I'm saying? Get sacks in that situation.
Yes, sir.
And then offensively, I think their playbook is going to be opened up a little bit more. We're going to have some more things going off. And I'm going to say Allen Robinson. I'm going to step out here on a limb, right? I'm going to say Allen Robinson, 9 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown.
Oh, that's what brave. I'm gonna go with. Okay.
That's what I'm going to go with.
All right.
I ain't mad at it.
I ain't either. Shit.
I ain't mad at it.
Get it, A-Rob, if you can. Definitely get it.
Hope so. We'll see.
Shout-outs, fellas. Any shout-outs?
Yeah, I got some shout-outs. We got a couple people hitting us up, man, for the podcast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give a few shout-outs. Michael Canaz. 34 Sweetness fan, you know, he was on this like, hey, when the pod's dropping.
Yeah.
Rocky Bear 52, sure. Gregory Smith, they were all hitting us up, man. I said, hey, life happens, man. And, we we're adults and we got kids and jobs, and, you know, but they, sure. You know, a lot of people like, hey, y'all still rocking, you know, hit me up. You know, Daniel still hitting us up. So shout out to all our followers, listeners, Allison.
Appreciate y'all. For sure.
You know, so shout out to all the fans, man. We ain't going nowhere.
Sure. Shout out to I got a couple of shout outs to do right quick. The Irish Bears pod. I was on there earlier this week. That was pretty dope. Pretty good dudes, man. They have fun, man. They have they talk some trash. They cool dudes though. And then of course the Bear Down Report. I was on there as well this week. After the game, I think they did a post game kind of wrap up show. So I was slid in there and visited with them for a little while. So shout out to them, and shout out to one person in specific on that show, Corey. I think her name is Corey. Forgot her Twitter handle, but she does some writing for them. She was on there. She's not normally on there, but she's on there too. I was just impressed, man, because like sometimes when you're speaking to a female, and this is no shot at females or nothing like that, but when you're speaking to them sometimes about football or basketball, whatever, sometimes they get timid. You know what I'm saying? And she does her thing, man. She does her work. She's not scared of nobody. She calls it how she sees it. So I respect that 100%. So, you know, shout out to her for doing what she's doing. Keep writing articles, keep watching the games and doing what you're doing.
Yo, why the fuck? What does Ryan Nall have on anybody on that Bears staff?
I saw that.
What the fuck is up with that?
I was trying out. Oh my god!
Why is he on the active roster? Oh my god! Promoted from the practice squad. Like, is this a joke?
No, because David Montgomery's out, so they put him in there. Yeah, and I was that pissed me off because why not bring up Pace? I mean, Pierce. Gonna bring him up. Bring Pierce up.
Oh no, they like that dude for some reason.
Ryan Nall.
At least Nagy ain't calling plays to give him some stupid play. You know, Nagy would have gave him some stupid play. Just brought him up in the practice squad, have him in there running a wheel route.
Never know. Nagy might insert himself into the play calling at any given moment.
I don't know.
Let's get that jet sweep to Ryan Nall.
I don't know if he has
do that it now.
I don't think he has that authority anymore. I think it's over.
Can't touch nothing on the offense no more.
I think they took that.
I hope so. You got something on somebody though. Ryan Nall sticking around, bro. It's been years, man. Like what, 4 years now?
Yeah.
God, dog.
Yeah, man. You got any shout outs, Devore?
Other than that, nope. Because I don't fuck with nobody. So I'm just keeping a buck. Motherfuckers too sensitive to be, you know, like I shout out cousin Heidi. You know what I'm saying? She good people. You know, Ray, the tensorial artist. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man.
Yeah, Ray good Ray, people. My dog. Yeah.
Ray good people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Outside of that, man, you know, shit.
We got this dude Justin on there talking about how he bitter because the White Sox lost. So he want to have a roasting session. I'm like, what? You want to have a roasting session because y'all lost? You know that's the worst time to do that, right? Because y'all down two to nothing to Houston. Like, man, whatever, man.
You know, all that Sox shit would be for naught, man. They fuck around and lose, dog. Like, I wasn't ready.
No, they down. They got one game left.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they fuck around and lose this series, it'd be for nothing. Like, well.
All of that for nothing. They blew it. And I said that. I said that at the beginning. Don't blow it.
So, they down.
They're going to blow it, though.
Yeah. That's all I got. I ain't got no trash tweet. The only trash tweet I got is, like, Hub Arkish, dude. It's just.
Yeah, because he gonna find ways to just be Hub. Hub is gonna find ways to Hub, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure he says some the dumbest shit for Andy Dalton, whatever. Dalton, that's what I said. You see, I didn't even read it. I just said Hub is gonna Hub. So I'm sure he said.
So many. I didn't even got a specific one. He's just being Hub.
Be two or three of them every time. I think the trash tweet and the trash everything was really John Gruden today.
Yeah, John Gruden, yeah.
He's a trash human. That's what you put, right? No, trash person of the week.
Trash take, trash human, trash.
Trash everything.
Trash everything. Yeah, man. So that's all I got, man. So thank y'all for rocking with us. thank you all for staying rocking with us even through our hiatus, man. And keep bearing down. See y'all next week.
Y'all take it easy. Be safe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Peace, everyone. Love and soul.
Peace, love, happiness, hair grease, all that.
That's shut the fuck up.